Well, I've never heard it quite like that before. If the dog made a mess on the bed, I'd shoot him. You know what I like about being an independent Baptist? Is everybody, every church is unique in its own way. And you just be yourself. And what I appreciate about you people is you're not trying to be somebody you're not. And you're just yourself. And you couldn't just say what the pastor said any worse. It wouldn't go over too well. Be about like the dog making a bed, mess in the bed. Just wouldn't work. That was supposed to have been funny. John chapter 10. Y'all pray for me. I hate being under the weather, sick, whatever you want to call it. There ain't no telling what I'm going to say anyways, but if I'm sick, there really ain't no telling. But John chapter number 10, it's been my honor to be here. My family and I have enjoyed these days with you. It's been our privilege and honor to be with you. And I appreciate the good fellowship and the good time. First time I've ever preached in the state of New York.
So, sir, you're now fulfilled.
Full, amen. But it's been my honor to be here. There's a lot more I'd love to preach to you on, but this will be our final thoughts for the week. And I wanted to preach on the home again this afternoon. I really did. But this is the direction the Lord has led me. And I'll probably be brief, just a thought. Here, John 10, let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Thank you, Pastor, for the good place to stay, good fellowship. Whatever the love offering is going to be, I want to go ahead and thank you in advance for that. And I appreciate you, good people. John chapter number 10, verse number 10. The Bible said the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Fathers, we bow in your presence. I love you. I bless you. I praise you. I pray that you'd touch us and anoint us. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, as we try to handle your word one more time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am come that they might have life. That's the forgiven life. That's the life that'll get you in the family of God.
Amen.
That's the life that'll help you escape hell. That's the life that'll get your sins washed away. That's the life that we would refer to as the born again, saved, redeemed, regenerated life. I am come to give you life, is what he said. That's that forgiven life. But then he said that you may have it. And here's our thought today, and that you might have it more abundantly. That's the full life. That's the fullness of God. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to preach this afternoon on this simple subject, a life most Baptists ain't never going to live. And that's the Spirit-filled life.
Yes.
He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers, plural, of living water. Spirit-filled folk have got rivers running through. I don't know how many rivers, but there's a bunch of them. Good Lord's will, tomorrow I will see Niagara Falls for the first time in my life in person.
Amen.
And I want God to flow through me like the water at Niagara Falls.
Amen.
I want to be Spirit-filled, don't you?
Amen.
Being Spirit-filled is not having dreams, not having visions, not speaking in tongues. Nor the women being called to preach. Being Spirit-filled is not mystical. Being Spirit-filled is spiritual. Being spirit-filled is more practical than it is anything.
Yes.
Being spirit-filled doesn't give us the ability to read people's minds or to know what's in somebody else's heart. God does give us discernment sometimes. God will lead us. God will guide us. God will direct us. But being spirit-filled is more practical. Being spirit-filled will help you to be a good husband, help you to be a good wife, help you to be a submissive child, help you to be a good pastor, a good evangelist, a good missionary. Being spirit-filled helps us in our practical daily living. Excuse me. I want to be spirit-filled, don't you? Four or five thoughts this afternoon. It's a life of being led of God. Verse number 3 of chapter number 10. The Bible says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. I'm thankful today that God leads his sheep. Where would we be without the leadership of God today? I like one of my favorite verses on leadership is Romans chapter number 2, and the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God led us to repentance to get saved. And when we followed that leadership, it began a life of leadership. We followed God's leadership, 3 main areas. First of all, we follow his leadership with the Bible. I don't know what to do. Read your Bible. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to live. Read your Bible. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to be a good husband. Read your Bible. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to be a good wife. Read your Bible. The Bible has got every answer to every question that we will ever have. What kind of wife should I look for? Read your Bible. Mm-hmm. Kind of husband should you look for? Read your Bible. Mm-hmm. Kind of church should I go to? Read your Bible. How much should I tithe? Read your Bible. Mm-hmm. How often should I pray? Read your Bible. How often shall I fast? Read your Bible. How often shall I witness? Read your Bible. How often shall I worship and rejoice and praise God? Read your Bible. How often should I cook supper for your husband? Read your Bible.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
Just read your Bible. You know when y'all get married and I come back up here, you're having me over to your house.
Oh, yes, sir.
That's right. Read your Bible. I want to be an example. Read your Bible. I want to be a leader. Your Bible. The Bible will lead us every area of our lives. How do I make money? Read your Bible.
Yeah.
With over 1,500 references to money in the Word of God, God had a lot to say about it.
Yeah, he did.
Money does not make the world go round. But I must agree with Brother Travis Clayton. It has to at least be the grease on the axles. Where should I work? Read your Bible. Scriptural decisions. Scripture. And on I could go. Some things you don't have to pray about. Why? Because it's already in the Bible. You don't have to pray about tithing. No. You don't have to pray about being faithful to church.
Right.
Or do you want me to go to church today? No. I got some oceanfront property across the street that I'll sell you today if you believe like that. We're led of the scriptures. The list goes on. Well, how do I tell sinners about Jesus? It's in the Bible. How am I supposed to be a good worker? It's in the Bible.
Right.
Led on and on. Led of the Word of God. I like what this right here says to him. The porter openeth and the sheep hear his voice. We're led by his voice. The still small voice of God. I love it, don't you? I love to know that I know the voice of God. God has personally spoken to me in my life. God talked to me. God talks to me. God is talking to me right now.
Amen.
And unless I grieve him or quench him, God is going to talk to me. Does God talk to you? Won't be like Oral Roberts and a 90-foot Jesus showing up at the end of your bed with at least a 10-foot ceiling. How you get a 90-foot Jesus and a 10-foot ceiling? No. God speaks to his people. God spoke to Samuel. And as a little boy, Samuel didn't understand. He thought it was Eli calling him. And only the third time Eli perceived what was going on. And Eli said, next time that happens, you say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And when Samuel figured out it was God, nobody ever had to tell him ever again when God was talking to him.
Amen.
Amen. God spoke to Elijah up there in that cave on that mountain. God, and I could get sidetracked here real easy. God sent a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. God sent wind, but God wasn't in the wind. Now God sent it, but he wasn't in it. And then there was a still small voice. Do you know what God told Elijah that day? No, you don't, and I don't either. But all I know is this, it was enough.
That's right.
It was enough to get him on, to move him on. A lot of times when I found I quit, throwing in a towel. Like Jeremiah days of old, I'm not going to speak anymore. Not saying nothing, there'd be a fire burning in my bones. And God would tell me, you preach right on. You pray right on. God speaks to his people. He'll speak to us about witnessing. He'll speak to us when we're wrong. God ever told you, hey, you're wrong? I like it when his witness bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. I like it when he pats me on the back. But the times I've went to pray and I'd say, Lord, it's me again, your son John, and I want to talk to you for a little while and pray in Jesus' name. And sometimes God will speak to me real quick and sometimes he won't. He'll let me pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And then I'll get through it and he'll say, you know, I'm not listening to you. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Should have got right with your wife. You was rude to her.
Mm-hmm.
You was rude to that person over
at
the gas station. He speaks to us with his spirit. He speaks to us with his word. But then he speaks to us through his servants, his wonderful servants, his men, our pastors, our evangelists, our missionaries, our Sunday school teachers. God speaks to us through other people. The times that I do not have time today to elaborate or testify, the times that God has spoken to me through somebody else. I remember one time in particular, we were working in Brevard, North Carolina, and I was preaching revival meeting somewhere. 2 days in a row, I was praying. I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach on tonight? And I didn't have no idea. I didn't have an old message on my heart. Didn't have a new message on my heart. I just prayed, and I said, Lord, would you speak to me? 2 days in a row, David Bain was with us. 2 days in a row, David just out of nowhere quoted a verse. And 2 nights in a row, I preached those verses he quoted. God spoke to me through his servant. God gives us pastors, evangelists, missionaries for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body. See, all of us have got things lacking in our faith. Every one of us. And God uses his man. And God uses his people to speak to us. It's a life of leadership. He has led us. It's a life. Verse number 21. I've labored this a little bit these days. I won't labor it too much today. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open up the eyes of the blind? It's a life of light. Simply living in the light that God gives us. God sheds light on how to pray, we got to live in it. God sheds light on how to be separate and come out from among them, be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, then we live in that light. God would give light. It gives us light to walk in. I'll never forget, I think it was Honduras. We were in Honduras, I was with Brother Trent Horton. And then in third world countries, my daughter Lydia, we seen this in Africa. They build walls around the houses. And when they put concrete on top of the walls while the concrete's wet, they take glass bottles and they break them. And they stick the jagged glass all around. I mean, just you couldn't walk on it. One day I was in Honduras and I seen a cat jump up on the wall. Well, I said, this is going to be interesting. And the cat walked with four legs all the way down that wall and never stepped on a piece of glass. You know what that cat was doing? He was walking circumspectly. Amen. How many of you has ever been in a cow pasture before? How many of you has ever stepped in cow manure before? Raise your hand. Every one of us that stepped in that mess, we wasn't walking circumspectly. We're going to walk in the light that God gives us. That light helps us to walk circumspectly. Stay away from things that would hurt us. Stay away from things that would hinder us. Stay away from things that would cause us not to be holy. God's holy and he wants his people to be holy.
Yes,
sir. He said, I'm holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. Walking in the light, I was deer hunting one time. I was walking to my stand. And the Lord spoke to me and said, would you like a practical lesson on light this morning? And I said, yes, Lord. And I had my flashlight. I had one of those high-powered flashlights because I like shining way out there on my way to my stand, see if I see any eyes or anything. And the Lord spoke to me and said, shine that light at your feet. And I did. And he said, that's light to walk by. Right there. My word. Lamp under my feet and a light under my path. That the word. He said, that's practical. Then the Lord said, spoke to him and said, shine it way off out in there. And I did. I shined it way out there. He said, that's prophetical light. He said, you can't see near as good way out there as you can right here at your feet. I might not understand everything that's going to take place. And God's prophetical book. I know he's coming back.
Amen.
I know the next main event is the rapture of the church.
Amen.
Nothing has to happen. Nothing. Not one thing.
Right.
Some people have changed their stand on their on their eschatology, have changed their stand on end time beliefs. And they're starting to tell people, I want to publicly say that I have made my mind up. I'm not changing. Premillennial, pre-trib, rapture of the church is what
we're doing. That's right.
It's light to walk by. Light to worship in. You ever really see what God's done for us, and it'll cause us to worship.
Sure.
Light. It's a life of being led. It's a life of living in the light. Verse 15. The Bible said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. A life of being led, a life of light, a life of laying down. This is a life most Baptists ain't gonna live. A life of sacrifice. He laid down his life for us. We should lay down our lives for him. The way I see it, he went all the way for me. I ought to go all the way for him. The night I surrendered my life to God to preach the gospel, I got on the altar. And I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want me to, wherever you want me to go. Whatever you want me to say when I get there. I'm your man.
Amen.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I've heard Brother Samuel Allen quote him once. I've heard him quote him 100 times. D.L. Moody said, it's yet to be seen what God could do with one man that's completely devoted and sold out to God. Anybody in here want to be that man? Anybody in here want to be that woman? I want to be sold out. I want to be dedicated. I want to be devoted to him. It's a life of sacrifice.
Amen.
It's a life of giving it all to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Complete surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Complete submission.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it produces complete peace. When you ever realize that God can do more with your life than you can. God can do more with you than you can. God will do things for you. It's a life of sacrifice. Chapter 10, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. It's not only a life of sacrifice, it's a life of love. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. God puts that love in your heart. I can't hardly explain it. I don't understand it. But all I know is this. I didn't know what real love was till I got saved.
Amen.
I didn't realize God blessed me with a wife. I love her. God blessed us with our first child. And boy, I mean, she was the light of our home. I mean, it was wonderful. Elizabeth Ann having a child. My wife come to me and said, we're going to have a baby again. If she was to tell me that today, you'd have to lock me up in the nut house. And I'll never forget, I was talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, as much as I love Elizabeth, and we found out it was going to be twins, I said, how in the world? How? I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just God puts that love in your heart for your family.
That's right. Yeah.
God puts that love in your heart for your church.
Mm-hmm.
It's God. The Bible said the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, right?
That's right.
That's good.
The only way you'll ever love that woman right is to open up your heart and let God love her through you.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you'll ever love him right is to open your heart and let God love him through you. That's real love. Opening up our hearts and saying, all right, Lord, love everybody through me. We'll never be effective ministers, preachers, till we learn to open our hearts up and let God love the congregations through us. Brother Wade Huntley, did you ever know the name Brother Wade Huntley, Brother Buck Huntley? Powerhouse preachers, buddy. Brother Wade Huntley said, real preacher is a preacher with God on him, wrapping his arms around the congregation and lifting them up to God, letting God love them people through his mouth. Life of love. Then lastly this afternoon, and I'm done, verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? It's a life of labor. It's a life of work. You know, when we first started out, we've seen the time behind the pulpit. We've seen the lights, the limelight. All we ever seen was the church time from the men of God. And that's why you better make sure you're called. Because if you're not called, you're not going to last.
No, I'm sure. Yes.
It was all glory, and it was all, I mean, wonderful. It still is. But that first trial comes. That first heartache comes. The day when you really got to go to work. And you find out it ain't as easy to study as you thought it was. And sometimes it ain't as easy to pray as you thought it was. And how many of you women homeschooled your children? Raise your hand. Now that was easy, wasn't it? I don't want to ever hear a woman complain about homeschooling being hard. No, that's a chore, ladies. That's a job. That's laborsome. My niece and another young lady in our church is expecting a child. Told them both, I said, it ain't like, it's their first child. I said, it ain't like bringing a dog home. It ain't. You can shoot the dog, you can't shoot your youngin. What? Is that too brutal? Is that too rough? It's a true thing. Laborsome. Sometimes it's laborsome making your wife happy. I'm not even going to talk about that. The labor. Just we'll work till Jesus comes. It's a life that most Baptists ain't never going to live. We're standing all over the building. Let's have an invitation this afternoon. Let's take a few moments and pray about what we've heard these days. You need to come and pray. You come pray. Maybe we'll get one of the P.I. prayers. Come play a stand.